Daniel Defoe, 1660-1731. Life. Daniel Defoe was born in London. He started working as a merchant and he travelled around Europe. He also became interested in politics. He wrote his famous pamphlet, The Shortest Way with the Dissenters. He was arrested because of the irony towards religion contained in his pamphlet, but it was soon released in return for services as a pamphleteer, a writer of political propaganda, and a spy for the Tory reader Robert Hawley. He wrote and produced the periodical The Review. In 1719 he started writing prose at the age of 59. In 1731 Daniel Defoe died in London. Literary production. Defoe published his first novel, The Life and Strange Adventures of Robinson Crusoe, York, Mariner, in 1719, after many years of writing journalism and pamphlets. The story was based partly on the memoir of voyagers and castaways. In his remaining years, Defoe concentrated on fictional autobiographical novels rather than journalism, and in 1722 he published Maud Flanders, the fictional autobiography of a prostitute, as well as a journal of the plague year, an account of the plague which struck London in 1665. His last great work of fiction, Roxana, appeared in 1724. Defoe is considered the founder of the English novel. Robinson Crusoe. The story. Robinson Crusoe is probably the most famous adventure story in English literature. It tells the story of a man who is shipwrecked off a desert island, where he spends the next 28 years before being rescued. The story is divided into three parts. Part 1. We are told briefly about Crusoe's early life and about how he runs away from home to sea, rather than accept the life of leisure his father promises him. After a series of adventures, Crusoe finds himself in Brazil, where he becomes a plantation owner, an occupation which he doesn't really like, but which brings him prosperity. From there, he sets off for Africa with some other plantation owners to procure slaves to work for them. It is on this journey that he is shipwrecked. Washed ashore on a desert island, he is the only survivor. Part 2. The second part of the book is in the form of a journal in which Crusoe writes about life on the island, how he uses his strength and intelligence to overcome the difficulties of his situation, and how he eventually becomes master of the island. In this part he encounters a savage, who he calls Friday, and who he converts to Christianity. He teaches him the rudiments of his language and culture, including how to use a gun to hunt animals for food, and later, to defend himself from attack. Part 3. The third and final part of the book tells of the rescue and of Crusoe's return to England with Friday as his servant, and then of his eventual journey back to Brazil. Stylistic features and themes. Like Defoe's other novels, Robinson Crusoe is written in the first person, in the form of an autobiography. As in Maud Flanders, Defoe adds a preface, which states, "The editor believes this thing to be a just history of fact. Neither is there any appearance of fiction in it. So we are led to believe that this is the story of a real man, and that Defoe is merely the editor." The book has often been praised for its detailed verisimilitude, which made readers believe at first that it was an authentic account. The style of the narrative is very matter-of-fact, following the principles promoted by the Royal Society, that prose writing should be plain. We are given little or no access to Crusoe's inner thoughts or feelings. He generally tells us only about his actions and about what physically happens to him. Occasionally, he reflects on religious questions. Indeed, one of the themes of the book is the Puritan idea that man's redemption on earth can be only obtained through hard work and industry. Another interesting feature is the organization of the story. There is no real novelistic plot. Instead, Crusoe's journal merely tells the reader the things that happened to him in a diary-like sequence. In this respect, Robinson Crusoe is formally quite unsophisticated, unlike the novels of Henry Fielding, for example. Robinson Crusoe's enduring popularity is undoubtedly due to the fact that, like all classics, in the words of Italo Calvino, it has never finished saying what it has to say. Here are three of the most common interpretations that had been given to the text. Robinson Crusoe is open to several interpretations. First, the religious allegory. The novel has been interpreted as a religious allegory, a Puritan tract about man's redemption from sin. The Puritans had a very uncomplicated view of religion. Their view was the man must save himself from religion and sin on earth, regaining the paradise he has lost through his labor and self-reliance. The island on which Crusoe is shipwrecked is at first an island of despair, but gradually, through his virtues of intelligence and hard work, he transforms it into a paradise of which he is master. As a Puritan, Crusoe's religious beliefs are very different from those of Roman Catholics. He doesn't ask God for salvation, but relies only upon his own labors. Second, the economic allegory. The novel also functions as an allegory of merchant capitalism. The mini-civilization which Crusoe establishes on the island is similar to the society from which he comes. After he has arrived on the island, he begins to regard it as his property. He builds himself an improvised house with a fence round it. He gathers wealth in the form of stocks of food and supplies. He even gives himself an arduous work routine, although he has no boss. When he meets Friday, he employs him as a servant. In this sense, Crusoe embodies the values of the self-made man. Third, the imperialist allegory. As Edward Said wrote in his introduction to Culture and Imperialism, Crusoe can be read as the prototypical modern realistic novel about a European who creates a fiefdom for himself on a distant non-European island. Indeed, Robinson Crusoe can be considered as an allegory of British imperialism because it attempts to demonstrate the white Christian Crusoe's inherent superiority over the native Friday, who must be civilized and converted to Christianity. Robinson sees it as his right to be lord and master of the island, despite the fact that the people he calls savages were there before him. His logic follows that of the British government, who saw it as their right to conquer and control parts of Africa and India. The indigenous inhabitants of these countries were generally regarded as savages who had to be civilized. In Robinson Crusoe, Friday is not given a voice of his own. He speaks only when Crusoe teaches him English. The master-slave relationship is reminiscent of that between Prosper and Caliban in Shakespeare's The Tempest. But unlike Caliban, Friday doesn't learn to curse his master.